Right now on VFN TV, a second rabbi, a 29-year-old rabbi in Israel, stabbed to death. It's a tragedy. We'll be talking about that. Also, we'll be talking about Kelly Clark, who actually is a Christian now, about her testimony, and she's in the Olympics and how she does the half pike, and it's just very interesting. Also, we're going to hear about some VFN KB success secrets right now on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm Greg Lancaster, and of course, joining me is John Ramos.
Hello.
We have a tragedy to bring to you at the beginning of our program today, and our hearts just go out to the people of Israel and also to the family of the murder victim. You got to see what happened in Israel. A rabbi, a 29-year-old rabbi who was standing waiting for a bus, was stabbed to death. Mm. And this is, let me tell you, this is parental guidance suggested on this particular program.
Yeah.
But we got to be able to know what's actually taking place in Israel. John, can you tell us?
Yes. Well, listen, they're reporting that the 29-year-old rabbi and father of four who was stabbed to death in a violent terror attack Monday afternoon was laid to rest Tuesday morning. The attack, which occurred at a bus stop just outside the Israeli city of Ariel in Samaria, was the second murder of a rabbi in a month. The surveillance footage shows that Rabbi Itamar Ben-Gal, a resident of the community of Har Baraka, was waiting at the bus stop. The terrorist exits a passenger van and crosses two lanes of traffic and attacks him from behind.
This is his family right here, you know, the tragedy at his funeral. But listen, this is parental guidance, because I want you to see what's taking place in Israel. This is why Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stands up and says, listen, we got to stand up for our sovereignty. When people are declaring, like Iran, saying to death to Israel, death to America, and they're saying that to this small nation called Israel. And now they're sending people out, Hamas, and they're training these Palestinian, radical Palestinians, not all of them that way, but just some of them go out, and they train them at a young age to take a knife, literally, and stab Jews.
Well, we've shown these videos, children, children.
Well, and then the thing about the Forrester Act, I believe it was the Forrester Act, where the American that was there in Israel studying, and he was in a car driving, stopped traffic, and somebody runs down the street and begins to stab the drivers and killed him. That's why they say we're not going to pay to slay anymore. We're not going to use any more of the American money. It's the Forrester Act.
That's President Trump, who said at the World Economic Summit at Davos, Switzerland, with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he said that $255 million is on the table, and it will not go to these guys if they're going to continue to murder and do these terrorist attacks.
Yeah, and it's called the Taylor-Forrester Act. Call your congressman, call your senator, and say, vote for this.
Yeah.
Because you should not pay money to kill anybody. And that's what they're doing with this particular money, a large percentage of it. And we're seeing this take place. So this is parental guidance. But this is the surveillance footage of watching a 29-year-old rabbi that's just standing waiting for a bus. Watch in the upper left-hand corner. You'll see the terrorists get out of the van, looks like a cheroot if you're from Israel, and comes all the way across traffic intentionally to walk up and kill this 29-year-old Jewish man, this rabbi. Let's go there now. You're seeing him get out of the van, upper left-hand corner. Bottom right-hand corner is the rabbi, the 29-year-old rabbi. See him, he's walking up, he's checking for his knife, or whatever he's going to do. He's looking, came out, intentionally killed this man, this Jewish man that's waiting for a bus. He crosses over traffic right here. Look, he's just innocently waiting for a bus over here, the rabbi is. 29-year-old wife, has four kids. He charges him. He charges him intentionally right into his heart. This is tragic, what's going on. He's fighting for his life. He runs across the traffic right here. The man still intentionally drops his bag and goes after him to totally kill him. Listen, this is a tragedy taking place. This is what's happening on an often basis in Israel. And that's why the president, that's why the Taylor Forrester Act's going on. Taylor Forrester died just like that from a man running, a Palestinian man running, because he'd been trained at a young age. Literally, the kids all go around held knives going, stab, 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 because they're being taught that, you know, by their elders. And you're looking, this is his funeral that's taking place right here.
There's more in this report. An off-duty IDF officer who witnessed the attack pursued him in his car, managing to bump him, but not enough to stop his escape in a waiting vehicle with an unidentified driver. Police quickly identified the killer from the contents of his backpack as Abed Al-Karim Aldel Asi, a 19-year-old, an Israeli Arab resident of Haifa. According to Israeli media, Asi's father was from the Palestinian Authority-controlled city of Nablus, and his mother's from Haifa.
This is such a tragedy. You know, you're looking at his funeral here. Also, you're seeing his wife and his four children. He's 29 years young, and he was murdered, stabbed right in his heart. Listen, we have to stand up. And when you see the president standing up for Israel, we got to be in agreement and stand up with Israel. When you see people saying, you know, this stuff about divest, boycott.
BDS, boycott, divest, sanction.
You know, it's called the BDS movement. That's what promotes stuff like this.
Where's the condemnation?
Yes.
You know, where's the public outcry where you have, you know, all these talks, especially the United Nations, about a two-state solution, and yet there's no one saying, listen, you're never going to get a two-state solution by you stabbing Jews who've done absolutely nothing to you, who've allowed you to live in their country without being, you know, persecuted or any kind of, you know, evil intent towards them.
So we don't turn to the United Nations to solve Israel's problem because there is a bias in the United Nations. As a matter of fact, we call it the unstoppable voting bloc. You're going to find out. This is actually what's really going on, what you just saw. But this is what they're saying in the United Nations. Check it out.
No matter how you feel about the United Nations, it's the one place on planet Earth where nations get together and attempt to speak with one voice. That's why their resolutions can make a big difference. So when people all around the world see that approximately 40% of the UN Human Rights Council resolutions were against just one country, most of us would assume that country must be a really bad place. Perhaps ruled by, oh, say, a genocidal dictator who kills his own people, or maybe a tyrant continually threatening to annihilate another country. But actually, the country that has been condemned more times than every repressive country on Earth combined is a democracy, the only viable democracy in the Middle East, Israel. And with these repeated resolutions against Israel, it's easy to see why so many in the international community perceive Israel as a major cause of world problems. But are all these resolutions really justified? Because whether or not you agree with how Israel is handling its many challenges, when you do a basic comparison, like the number of deaths Israel is responsible for with the number of condemnations they've received, and then make that same comparison with other countries, it paints a surprising picture of a possible double standard. What could explain the enormous imbalance? Quick history lesson. In 1975, Cuba needed to gather support in order to take down the biggest democratic superpower dominating the global schoolyard, the United States. Seeing how the UN was mostly controlled by the democratic superpowers, Cuba, along with other communist nations, finally found a way to even the playing field, because it just so happened that, at the same time, a number of Muslim countries were looking for new, creative ways to gang up on Israel. So the communists realized that by joining the Muslims' anti-Israel coalition, they could create an unstoppable voting bloc inside the UN. Because with every resolution they passed against Israel, they simultaneously discredited Israel's ally, the United States. So in 1975, the newfound communist-Muslim voting bloc spearheaded the passing of a UN resolution that officially stated, "Zionism is a form of racism." Yes, Zionism. The movement trying to find ways to protect Jews from racism was redefined as racism, which is kind of like saying the civil rights movement is racism and Martin Luther King is a racist. This is why resolution after resolution after resolution against Israel from 1975 until this day easily passes through the UN.
So you're looking at, you're seeing firsthand what took place to this 29-year-old rabbi with his wife and his four children. It's actually them coming against him, coming against the Jews, coming against the Jewish people. Here you have somebody who's actually a citizen in Israel, but yet, you know, Islamic radical, Islamic terrorist in the own community who they're giving freedom to and the most freest nation in that area.
This is what happens when you allow people to live in your country who don't want to assimilate and be part of the culture. They want to, you know, live there, enjoy the benefits of that country, but they don't want to be peaceful with the people that actually are from the country.
Yeah, you got to really love the people and love their values and want to be a part of the community. Yeah. If you don't love them and you don't want to be a part of them and you don't love their values, you got to find a different country.
Absolutely.
That's very important. But listen, we want to hear, this is what we want, you know, we love hearing from you in our community, you know, posting below, writing us and calling us. But do this. A lot of our friends in Israel, and Jews all around the world, Jewish friends around the world, part of our tribe, they're going to see this. And I want you to take a moment and give them a shout out. Let them know you're standing with them. Let them know you're praying for Israel. Let them know that your heart's moved with compassion over this, that they're not alone, that you do see this, and that you are praying to a just God, and you do see this thing that's happening against them that's wrong. And I just challenge you, that's what we're going to do. Just begin to make those kind of posts, call us up, write us, and just say what you want to say positive. You know, standing for Israel, standing for this family that had such a tragic loss. But listen, when we get back, John, what do we have next?
Yes, listen, we get back from this break, we're going to be going straight to the Olympics, but we're going to be hearing about a testimony from a snowboarder, Kelly Clark. It's amazing. She reached the pinnacle of her success, yet she was so empty until she found Jesus Christ. It's so inspiring and encouraging. You don't want to miss it.
We'll be right back.
Well, listen, I want to tell you about this. You know, we are excited to tell you we have launched VFN TV's YouTube channel. We are out there. We had people request it. I'm very excited about it. You know, you can simply go to it by going to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube, or you can go to YouTube.com/VFNTV. But I wanted you to know that we are out there in YouTube. We have an audience now that stretches all around the world that's joined us in other ways as well. And we thank you for watching, and you can subscribe to us. As a matter of fact, you know, you can go there and check every from time to time about new, because almost every day new content's coming out there. But one way to make sure that you be notified that content is happening is you go there and you press the button subscribe. You can see that button here probably. Just press that button. It doesn't cost you nothing. It's just a thing that happens. And then you'll be notified every time new materials put up on the YouTube channel. That's right, VFN TV. We're now on YouTube. It's youtube.com/VFNTV, or just go to VFNTV.com and click on YouTube.
As I've gone through this maturation in Christ and in my ministry, drawing closer to my Father's legacy, I've come to understand that I have a profound responsibility to carry the next phase of that, but I don't.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. John, take us to the Olympics.
Listen, we're going to listen to Kelly Clark as she shares her story. This is a successful three-time medalist, Olympian with a long history of successful victories. But it just, you got to hear her story because it's absolutely amazing. In fact, let's go there now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to New York's JFK International Airport. For the local time is 6:30 a.m. We will be taxiing for a few moments. So please remain seated with your seatbelts fastened.
My name is Kelly Clark, and I'm a professional snowboarder.
Kelly goes bigger than a lot of guys in the half pipe. She goes bigger than I go in the half pipe, that's for sure.
Whenever I watch Kelly and she's going like as big as the dudes, you know, I'm just like, dude, that chick is awesome.
Probably at times she goes bigger than me. Off the record, of course.
Please stay in your seat until the captain turns off the seatbelt sign. Red eye flight, but I never fell asleep last night. And everything's new and everything glows here brighter than TV. But I can taste it, I can touch it, I can feel my heart go.
The Olympics are definitely the pinnacle of a competitive snowboarder's career. I won the Olympics when I was 18 in 2002 in Salt Lake City. You know you've made it when. I was living the dream, you know, every kid that dreams about being a pro snowboarder, I had it made. On the flip side of it, on the inside, I wasn't really satisfied because no matter what I did, nothing was fulfilling me, even all the success that I could strive for. And I think about 2 years went by, and I was at my first event in Utah. I was in my hotel room that morning, and I was just writing in my journal, and I was kind of at the end of it. I was kind of done. And I was writing about, you know, if I didn't wake up tomorrow, like, I was fine with that. And I didn't think anybody cared about me. And I didn't think anybody would care if I didn't wake up tomorrow. And I just thought, was writing about how if this was what life was, like, if that's what it was, like, I was done with life. And that same day, you know, I had qualifiers for some event, and, you know, so I go out and do my snowboard thing, and it's going really well. This girl came down, because she had crashed twice, and her friend was like, hey, it's all right, God still loves you. Just hearing that statement gave me this hope that, like, God loves you. Maybe God loves me. That's something. I found out the girl who had made the comment was staying in a hotel. So I went to her hotel room, knocked on the door, and I said, hey, my name's Kelly. I think you might be a Christian, and I think you need to tell me about God. I thought being a Christian was about going to church, and I thought it was about following rules, and I thought it was about being good all the time. And she's like, hey, you know, it's about relationship, it's not about religion. I took the next, you know, 4 or 5 months, just kind of like, hey, God, like, show me that you're real. This is something that's amazing, but I need to know that I know that I know. And sure enough, God met me over the next, you know, 4 or 5 months. I was surrounded by people who could help me understand, you know, who God was and how it looked to have a relationship with him. Before I became a Christian, my whole life was snowboarding. I was Kelly Clark, pro snowboarder, and snowboarding was a really huge part of my identity. It was what I pulled from for my self-worth, and it's a pretty fragile thing to have your identity in. Up until that point in my life, my identity was just in my snowboarding, and it just began to shift, you know, to being loved and having that be my identity. You know, you can say my identity is in Jesus and as a daughter of God and all this different stuff, but I just think the simplest way I can understand it is that, like, I'm loved and that I know that I know that I know.
That's such an awesome testimony. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're at that point and you're thinking, nobody loves me. God doesn't know I exist. You've been thinking about ending it. You've been pondering ways to just stop breathing, stop your heart from beating another beat. But you just found out that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. This is such an important moment. That's why, you know, being part of the community and part of the tribe, we can do this together. You're not alone. It's us together. It's no longer me. It's we. We're walking this out together in Jesus Christ. Listen, God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And just like Kelly Clark, all you got to do is just reach out to him and say, Lord, I want you. Just like Kelly Clark, I want you. Just like Greg and like John and everybody that's here in all of our community that knows Christ, you can know him. You can make him the Lord of your life. You know, we shared our stories, how we were like Kelly Clark before she met God, that we got our stories, we shared it. But we also share how we found God and how he changed our life. Like her life has changed. And we shared that at meetmyfather.org. Meet my father. You've got to meet him. It's going to bless your heart when you go there. And just share with us. Share with us your testimony. Let us know if this is you. You know, and you've had that experience, and now you're walking with Christ just like Kelly is, like John is, like I am, and like so many in our communities walking with Christ. Share your testimony below. Write us, call us, let us know. It's encouragement because you overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. Powerful, John.
Wow, that is so powerful. Listen, we get right back from this break. We're going to have some more VFNKB success secrets. Listen, you're familiar with Magic Johnson, Hall of Fame basketball player from Los Angeles Lakers, but he's also a very successful businessman. He has so much to share. Join us when we get right back from this break.
We'll be right back.
The idea of authority in dealing with children has fallen into disrepute in recent years, and it's no wonder.
For Family Talk, here's Dr. James Dobson.
The moment you even use the word authority, there are people who mistakenly think you're referring to harshness and anger. They picture a father who rules with an iron fist, and when he speaks, everybody jumps because they're afraid not to. Properly defined, however, authority means respected leadership. And without respect for leadership, you have no leadership. And without leadership, you have anarchy, chaos, and very real danger. One day when our kids were younger, I remember watching their hamster run around his cage. He was gnawing on the bars and trying to lift the cage door, doing everything he could to escape. Then about 5 feet away, I noticed our little dachshund Siggy watching the hamster from the safety of the shadows. His ears were pointed straight up, and I knew exactly what he was thinking. Come on, baby, break through to freedom. I'll give you a ride you'll never forget. Now, if that little hamster had been so unfortunate as to achieve his desire for freedom, he'd been dead in seconds. You see, even loving discipline can seem like a cage to a child sometimes. But young children lack the perspective to see what awaits them beyond the bars. If you love your kids, lead them. You have the authority to take charge at home. Use it.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're going to have some VFN KB success secrets. Listen, if you haven't yet gone to VFNKB.com and signed up for the podcast, signed up and actually read and listened to and watched some of the success secrets, what you got to do is begin to hear what God's plans is, good plans for you, some strategies, how to succeed in business and relationships. And that's what we do. We constantly are feeding things to you because God's plans are good for you. As a matter of fact, Magic Johnson, John, what does he have to say here?
Listen, this is so powerful. He's speaking to a group of business students at Stanford Business School, and he shares about a really important principle that he's used in his business, not just in sports, but in his business. You got to watch it.
Right. And so I was able to understand my customer base and over deliver to them. And I'm going to use that word all the time. And you students out there, I want you to write that word down. And that's over deliver. Because if you're going to be in business, and especially today's marketplace, you got to over deliver to the consumer. Or guess what? They're going to leave you that fast. I have over delivered to my customer base for 30 years. That's why I have the number one brand in urban America. So when I first went out to raise my first fund, I went up to CalPERS, right down the road from here. And they turned me down 4 times. And the last time the committee turned me down, they said, well, why haven't some other minority come to raise money and do what you're talking about doing? And I couldn't answer that question, right? I was up there to have them give me around $50 million to invest in urban America. That was unheard of at that time. And so finally I went up the time after that, the fifth time, and they finally said, you know what? We're going to give you the $50 million. And if you, I'm going to come back to that word, if you over-deliver with the $50 million, you can come back and get $100 more million. I bought a shopping center for $22 million. It was 40% occupied. I made that center 100% occupied. I resold that center for $48 million. Took the 26 back up to Sacramento and said, here you go. And guess what happened? They started respecting me like a businessman. Now, a lot of you going to get turned down 5 times like I did. Are you going to get back up and try again? Or are you going to go have your head down, disappointed, and not get up and try again? See, I knew I had a great business plan. I knew I had a great strategy, and I believed in it. That's why I kept going up to Sacramento. And finally, they said yes.
That's so powerful. You know, our question is, why wouldn't anybody over-deliver? But the reality is,
People don't.
Under-deliver.
They under-deliver or they just deliver. Yes. You know, this is so important because even in your own workplace, people, you know, you're exchanging, you're getting a pay, and you say, well, I'm going to give them 100%. Well, that's what you're supposed to be doing. If you want the promotion, if you want the raise, if you want to have more responsibility, you have to over-deliver and give them 110%.
But, you know, of all the businesses, you know, leaderships we work with and all, it's so exciting to work with people who understand what Magic
yes,
Johnson's talking about.
Absolutely.
You get so encouraged because they don't care if they're the owner of the company. They want to make sure when you come into there, where they're, well, no matter what type of business it is, that when you leave there, you're never going to forget that encounter
That's
with
right.
them.
That's
you know,
right.
You'll come back. And it's all about relationship. You know, one of the successes that you're going to make in secret VFNKB's success secret is understand you're building relationships all the time.
Absolutely.
You want to build good ones. You do that by over-delivering, right, John?
And the way you over-deliver is one of the things we talk about often is blessed to be a blessing. When you take a mindset and an attitude that I just want to bless my customers, I want to bless my employer, you're automatically going to over-deliver because you have the right, you know, frame of mind. I just want to do my very best for the people I'm serving.
And the results of that, by the way, is the raise.
They're going to it's a byproduct.
People want to find somebody who's going to help them with their vision, with their ministry,
no
with their business. They're looking for somebody who over-delivers, who understands where things are going and understands their customer and compassionate about them. But we have a question for you right now as
Absolutely.
A community, right?
Absolutely. As a community, we want to know, because we're learning together. We want to know, what are ways that we can over-deliver? What are some of the strategies that you have put in place in
yes.
your own life
yeah.
that you say, listen, you know, share your story. I've over-delivered this way or that way. And begin to share that with us, because we believe that all of us collectively have all of these wonderful success secrets and experiences. And when we share them, we're just better together. We're learning out loud.
Yeah, this is, I have one more VFNKB success secret for you. You're looking at it right here on your screen. This is so important. Did you know that your gifts are God's gift to you? But what you do with those gifts is your gift to God. And guess what? He expects you to be successful with it.
Hmm.
You know, that he says specifically, he's given you certain talents and he doesn't mind you being successful. He wants you to be successful. That's religion that tells you that you're not supposed to be successful. If you're a teacher, you're going to be the best teacher around. If you're a business leader, you're the best business leader around. He wants you. If you're a minister, you're the most passionate minister around. If you're an artist, you have all kinds of artwork going on. It's just about being passionate and successful. So think about that. This is a VFNKB success secret. Your gifts are given to you. It says, well, this is it. Your gifts are God's gift to you, but what you do with those gifts is your gift back to God. And guess what? He expects you to be successful. Share with us some ideas and some concepts that you're hearing about. I want to be able to pray with you right now as we're begin to close out our program. Father God, I just thank you for our tribe. I thank you for our community. We just bless them right now. We just speak success over them, God. We pray even now, Lord, even over the nation of America, Lord, that we declare and decree now that abortion has ended.
Yes.
We decree and declare that revival has come. And we declare and decree 3 years of peace, like was prophesied by the prophet. And Lord, we declare third great awakening over America, Hub Nation, in Jesus' name. God bless. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch, at VFNTV.com. I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.